Good morning. I have to say it is so good to be here in person with all of you, to be seeing your faces as opposed to seeing a camera screen. For the last number of months, Pastor Matt and I have been preaching to a camera, and I have to say the privilege of preaching this morning is it brings me great joy. So I'm very thankful for that. It has been some interesting times that we have been in the last number of months. And I think it's times like this, times of COVID, times of quarantine, isolation, racism, riots, maybe losing loved ones. It's these types of times that begin to cause us to ask some really good questions. And it's times like this when I ask myself, you know, well, how am I supposed to press on? What am I supposed to be doing in this time? And I think it can be very easy during these difficult times to be fearful, to be depressed, to be anxious, to be worried. It's very easy to be these things if I'm not taking care of my spiritual health. You see, everyone today is worried about their physical health, and rightly so. But if you are taking care of your physical health, it's not going to matter at all if spiritually we're sick and dying. And so our spiritual health is critically important. And I think in these tough times, the questions that I have found myself asking is, what can I be doing for my spiritual health? What restrictions maybe do I need to put on my life so spiritually I'm able to be healthy? And maybe what people or what habits do I need to socially distance from in order that I might spiritually be healthy? And so I suspect, though, that you guys have been asking a lot of those same questions. Maybe if you haven't been asking those questions, that's a good indicator that you need to be asking those questions. And it's such a sad thing that at a time when people need Scripture the most, they need fellowship, they need to fall back on the Word of God, that it's most difficult to have that shared with them. We've been so thankful to have video and the means to put out praise and worship and to preach and bring the word to you guys. We're very thankful for that, but it's definitely not the same. So the current emphasis on our physical health does not mean neglect of our spiritual health. And thankfully, a lot of the questions that come, the Scriptures speak to these questions. The Scriptures speak to them. And as we're going to see this morning, God's Word is vital in the spiritual lives of His children. God's Word is vital in the spiritual lives of His children. We're going to see that in Psalm 119 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. And if you tuned in with us last week, you'll know that we just started a Summer in the Psalms series. And so we're very excited about this, excited about what the Psalms have to teach us this summer. So Psalm 119. To give you a little bit of a context or an overview before we get into this, Psalm 119 is written out of great difficulties and trials in the psalmist's life, much like many of the trials that we're going through, and in many ways probably much more difficult than the trials that we're going through. And these hardships are mentioned specifically more than 20 times throughout the Psalms, and they're alluded to literally throughout the entire Psalm. He mentions being plotted against, being persecuted, taunted, afflicted, wronged, oppressed, crying with his whole soul, and so much more. And it's because it's written out of such duress, such difficulty, that many people say Psalm 119 can be a lament. And I'd say that's probably correct. But Psalm 119 also has this positive tone or this positive nature to it. What I would definitely say, it's still a praise. It's definitely directed at God, and so it's a psalm of prayer. And it's also a psalm of wisdom, because it shows how Scripture should be applied to everyday living, how to live a life that is saturated in Scripture. And so we're going to look at this psalm this morning, and I'm excited to get into it. As far as the author, we don't know who the author is. Scripture doesn't tell us. A lot of commentators say David, some say Ezra, some say Nehemiah, some say Daniel, but we don't know who the author is. And one important thing to point out, or two rather, as we go into this, is the acrostic structure of the psalm. So even if you look in your Bible, you'll probably notice the different titles of the Hebrew letters. So Psalm 119 has 22 sections, one section for each letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and each section has 8 lines. And each line begins with the letter in the corresponding Hebrew alphabet. So the first section is all begins with, it'd be the English equivalent of A. So you can see on the screen there, it's a little bit small, but you can see, you know, Hebrew's read right to left, and so you can see all of the letters are the same in the first 8 lines, and then it switches. The English equivalent would be the first line would all start with A, and then the second set of 8 lines would all be B, and so on and so forth. And so that's how the psalm is, and that's the structure of it. And I love what C.S. Lewis comments about this structure and how it differs from other psalms. He says, Psalm 119 is not and does not pretend to be a sudden outpouring of the heart. It is a pattern, a thing done like embroidery, stitch by stitch, through long, quiet hours, for love of the subject and for the delight in leisurely, disciplined craftsmanship. And just imagining the psalmist meditating on God's word as he's writing this out, and the craftsmanship that it takes. The other important thing to note is that the psalm uses 8 different terms to refer to Scripture. 8 different terms. They are law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, word, and ordinances. And there are a few occurrences of other words, but those are the primary ones that he uses. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go into the different nuances of what each word means or significance. Primarily, the psalmist uses them interchangeably to refer to Scripture as a whole. And so for the sake of the message this morning, I'm going to be doing the same thing. Just refer to them as Scripture. Another thing that's important to note is that almost every single line out of the 176 lines in this psalm, almost every single one has at least one reference to Scripture. There are a few exceptions, but not many. And so it's very obvious that as we read this psalm, the psalmist has a deep love for Scripture. It saturates his life. Everything that he does centers around the Scriptures. And so it's the longest passage, the longest chapter in the Bible. It's basically dead center. If you were to turn to your Bible, open it to the very middle of your Bible, it's just about Psalm 119. And also, the Word of God is the central message in Psalm 119. And so in thinking through and preparing this message, I thought it would be very much an injustice to the message of the text for us not to read it in its entirety. And to give you a heads up, it takes a little bit of time to read this psalm in its entirety. But I want you to be patient, to bear with me, and remember the beauty of God's word. And as you do, keep in mind, he's writing this in times much like we've just experienced. So look for a lot of his expression of the challenges and difficulties in his own life and maybe be able to relate to them. But also keep in mind 3 points that we're going to be looking at in just a little bit. And that is, make sure you look at the amount of times he talks about meditating on it and the amount of time that he spends in God's word. Then look for how precious he views it, how precious it is to him. And lastly, how diligently he acts upon it. All right, and we're going to talk a little bit about those at the end. All right, so I want you to look for those things, and I know it's a long text, but I'm going to try and move quickly through it. So I would encourage you, have your Bible out, and as I read it, follow along with me. It'll maybe help you to track with me a little bit better, and then we'll get into some of these lessons that we can learn in just a moment. So Psalm 119 says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn of your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as in much riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of your ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And I take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame, for I find my confidence in your commandments, which I love, and I will lift up my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, that your promises give me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from on old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my song in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. The word of the Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, my feet turn to your testimonies, and I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord. According to your word, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me, according to your promise of your servant. Let your mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes that I may not be put to shame. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pits for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life that I may keep your testimonies of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, and for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie and wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. It is forever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offering of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, and I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I will incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you have discarded like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation, for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your word gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, for I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes can forget your words. Your promise is well tried in your service, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, and yet I forget your precepts. Your righteous is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. With my whole heart, I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before the dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O Lord. According to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known your testimonies, that you have founded them forever. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust. because they do not keep your commandments. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you so much that the psalmist focused so much on your word and meditated on it so that we can have this beautiful piece of literature to read and reflect on and remember that your word ought to saturate our lives, that everything that we say and do, everything that we think and believe ought to be grounded in Scripture, and that your word is critical for times like these, times when life is difficult and tough. It is to your word that we can run and know that you have the answers for us. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son who brings us into that right relationship with you. Lord, we just pray for this service. Lord, we pray that your word would be a refresh and an encouragement to us. And Lord, that maybe if we haven't been spending as much time in it as we should, Lord, that we would be diligent to do so. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So my big question for us, and myself is definitely included in this, do we have a view of the Scriptures the way the psalmist did? Do we view the Scriptures the way the psalmist did? Because as you heard just a moment ago, his love for Scripture, how it saturated his life. And so this morning, I just have 3 quick lessons that we can learn about Scripture from the psalmist. 3 quick lessons. The first is chew it repeatedly. Chew it repeatedly. Second, view it preciously. View it preciously. And last, do it diligently. Do it diligently. So the first one, chew it repeatedly. And the idea I have behind this one is almost as cows chew their cud. Cows will chew something, they'll swallow it, then they'll spit it up, they'll chew it again, and they do it over and over again. And it's this idea of continually chewing on and meditating on God's word. Even Paul gives the example of the meat of the word. Meat is something that you have to chew really well in order that you're able to digest it and for it to have an impact on your life. And that's the idea that we need to have when it comes to Scripture. You see, throughout this psalm, it's very clear and very obvious, this psalmist loves Scripture. He's continually reading it. He's meditating on it. He's singing it. He's teaching it to other people. He's doing it. And so it's so important that we understand that devotion to God's word is devotion to God. Brad read just a couple minutes ago, 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. And so just as I'm speaking this morning and my breath is leaving my mouth and my voice is leaving, so the Scriptures is literally God's word breathed out to us. And so Psalm 119 is really about this psalmist's personal relationship with God. Because what you do with Scripture is the listening side of your relationship with God. You see, as we pray and as we praise God, that is our speaking. But it's only through our reading of God's word that we hear him. Because God doesn't speak to us in normal circumstances with an audible voice. How do we listen to God? It's through this. And you know, I think it's a lot like any relationship that we have here on earth. How many of you guys think that with your spouse or anyone in a couple, You know, you can just be making requests, even praising, but as soon as they say something, you just kind of plug your ears and you don't want to listen. And the communication is just one way. Some wives might be elbowing their husbands right now. But you know what I mean? If you don't have equal communication both ways, a relationship can't thrive. And so the same is true with God. You know, we can be praising God, we can be praying, but we need to be reading and meditating on God's word. And how we view scriptures is a part of how we view the importance of what God says to us. And the psalmist understood that. He got it. And if you remember through the psalm, multiple times he refers to the regularity with which he is in God's word, reading it and meditating on it. He says, before the dawn, daily, seven times a day, nightly, at midnight. He says, continually. He says in verse 123, my eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. The idea being is, have any of you ever gone on a long car ride and been driving and your eyes just start to get like really, 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 really heavy? And you have to like practically pry them open because you're just almost falling asleep. How many of you guys have seen Mr. Bean? He takes the toothpicks and he plucks open his eyes like this. That is kind of the idea. He's saying, my eyes fail with longing. The psalmist is reading the scriptures late into the night, and he's getting tired, and his eyes can barely stay open, but he's forcing them to stay open because he desires to know what God has to say to him. That is the kind of relationship that he has with God, that he desires that word into his life that much, that he's staying awake at night, even though his eyes are telling him, go to sleep, you're tired. So the psalmist understands that the biggest benefit of a good working relationship with Scripture is that relationship that it produces with God. But he also, throughout the psalm, he gives us plenty of other benefits that also come from having a life that is saturated in Scripture. Some of the other benefits, he says, it gives you understanding, perseverance in tough times. It keeps you from sin. It makes you wiser than your enemies. It gives you life. It helps you understand the wondrous works of God. It makes you distinct from the world. And it helps you not to forget, but rather to delight in God's word. And so the question for all of us this morning is, are you chewing it repeatedly? Are you chewing it repeatedly? And I think this is something that is difficult for a lot of people. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I confess I'm not doing as good a job as I should be, and I need to make some changes. And what are those changes? I don't know. It looks different for everyone. For some of you, maybe you need to start putting some sticky notes around your house, around your workplace with verses on it. Courtney, at my last job, wrote me these index cards with a bunch of encouraging verses. So when times got tough, I could look at those seated on my desk and just be refreshed and encouraged by God's word. They're still in my office to this day. Maybe it means you need to start listening to Christian music where God's word is central to the lyrics. Maybe you need to be doing your devotions, listening to Christian podcasts, setting reminders on your phone, memorizing scripture, reading the Bible through in a year, or maybe in 2 years, or just reading it through however long it takes you. Maybe you need to pick up some good Christian books. Maybe you need to set aside a specific period of your day or set your mind on things above, not get so distracted by everything that is around us. But you know, I think one thing that would really help all of us, or most of us, is just putting our phones down. When was the last time you sat in complete silence and you didn't have your phone out in front of you and you were able to just think about anything for that matter? Life, where you want to see yourself spiritually down the road, things that you need to change, things that you need to do. You know, we're so quick to need some sort of entertainment. And yet how often do we just sit and maybe meditate on a verse or two? Meditate and praise God for how good he is. So we need to put down our phones for some of us. I know I can be just as guilty of that. So chew it repeatedly. It needs to be a part of the fabric of our lives. Second, view it preciously. View it preciously. Why? First and foremost, because it's God's revealed word. And you know, I think we have a lot of things in this life that we view as precious. So take just a minute, think to yourself, and make a mental list of all the things that you deem as precious in your life. If you're having a hard time coming up with some things, think of what you've spent your hours on the last number of weeks. Think of where your checkbook points and what's precious to you. Many of you are probably going to say, you know, your home, your cars, your kids, your family. Maybe it's your entertainment, your leisure, your pleasure, the finances, whatever it is. Those things are precious to you. And that's a good thing. Those things should be precious to you. But the question is, does Scripture top that list of things that is precious to you? You know, I can't go a day without this. Did Scripture even make it on your list? Because I think for a lot of us, when we think of things that are precious, we go immediately to material things. So let's recall through the psalm some of how the psalmist views Scripture in order that we might do so as well. He says, "My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times," verse 20. He says, "I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil." You see videos on YouTube of people that win the lottery and they're jumping up and down and they're yelling and they're so happy. Do you view God's word as when you read something, it's like, that is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. The best news ever. We'd win $1 million and we'd go around telling everyone, but we have a salvation for our souls through Jesus Christ and the work he did on the cross for us. And yet, it loses its shine, unfortunately. He says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." He says, "I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." You know, those things that are important to you and truly precious, you don't forget. Like your anniversary, guys, or your wife's birthday. It's Courtney's birthday on Tuesday. Wherever she is, happy birthday. I remembered it now. I will pray I'll still remember it on Tuesday. But, you know, if it's something that's truly precious to you, you remember it. You remember to do those things that matter, and it's easy to forget those things that don't. He says, "Open my eyes that I may uphold wondrous things from your law." You know, I think a lot of times we read Scripture and we don't see wondrous things because our eyes of our heart are just completely closed, and we're doing it so we can just get the Bible closed and be done with that part of our day. And instead of reading it, wondering what God has to say for us this morning. He says, "It's good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." You know, I think a lot of times, and I know this has been true in my life, Scripture causes me to ask some very important questions. Afflictions cause me to ask some very important questions. And yet, those questions find their answer in God's word. And the psalmist rejoices in afflictions because look, they point me to you, God. They point me to your word in the true sense of what life is all about. Then he says, "My heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil." How many of you guys have ever seen the Grand Canyon or a mountain range or something where you stand there and you look out and your jaw just drops open and it's just amazement? Wow. Do we view God's word as that? Have you ever read God's word and you're like, wow, I feel like that was written just for me today, right now, and it amazes you. That is the type of view that we need to have. That's the type of view that he had. So the question is, this morning, how do you view God's word? How do you view it? Maybe a good answer to that question for you, well, what were your thoughts and attitude like as we read all 176 verses of Psalm 119? Were you rejoicing in the beauty of God's word and understanding it and learning it and just hearing it read out loud? Or were you bored and ready to get on to the good part? Because let me tell you, for a preacher, this is the good part. This is the inspired word of God. This is God's word for you. And the most important thing that I can do is read it so you understand it and hear it. Everything else that I say after I put this Bible down and stopped reading, that's just Josh Kosorik's words to you guys. And they only hold any weight as they line up with Scripture. Because this is the important part. And we should be rejoicing in the reading and the hearing of God's word. So how do you view Scripture? Wearsby says this. He says, "To unsaved sinners, the law is an enemy, because it announces their condemnation and cannot save them. To the legalistic believer, the law is a master that robs them of freedom. But to the spiritually minded believer, the law is a servant that helps them see the character of God and the work of Christ. How do you view it? It might shed some light on which camp you are in. Because believers ought to see the glory of God in Scripture and what he did on the cross for us. So chew it repeatedly, view it preciously, and lastly, do it diligently. And before we get too far into this one, I just want to say this. If you have never obeyed the call to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what else you do, it's not going to matter. It doesn't matter if you go through and you keep all the other commandments throughout Scripture. If you do not put your faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you do not have a relationship with God, and it doesn't matter if you're the best person in the world and you keep all of this. So don't listen this morning and think that, I can just do these things and do what the Word says. If you don't do that, it won't matter. And so I would encourage you, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is where the relationship with God starts. So do it diligently. The psalmist says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart." He recognizes that as he repeatedly chews it, and as he views it as precious, what's the next thing for him? It's doing it. You can't view it as precious, and you can't meditate it on all the time, and then not allow it to impact your life to where you act. And I love what James says. Turn with me really quick to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I think he gives such great light on this. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. He says this, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, notices things that needs to be changed, areas that he needs to work on. He looks at himself, walks away, and immediately forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And may we all, that is the prayer that I have for my life, that is the prayer that I have for your lives, especially during this difficult time, that we would be seeing Scripture and putting it into practice. The psalmist also says, "The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise." And then he says, "When I think on my ways," that's how he's living. He says, "I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments." How quick are we to obey Scripture? I think a lot of times as we're seated in the pew, we think, "Wow, that's a really good thing. I should do that." And then we stand up and walk away and it's like, "Ooh, what's for lunch?" And that's so often that we do that. We've been working with Barrett on this. I don't know if Barrett is here. He's probably in the back running around somewhere. But you'll tell Barrett to do something, and then all of a sudden he's just kind of... And we tell him, delayed obedience is disobedience. Come on, if we tell you to do something, don't go do your own thing and then finally get around to it. With God's word, we need to make sure that when we're convicted of something, when we see something in our lives that we need to do, we go ahead and we do it. He says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." And then this last one, "Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies." There are a lot of people in our world today who are very radically opposed to whatever this book says. But we as Christians cannot swerve from following it. We cannot, because this is the source of life and hope and truth for us. Everything that we believe, everything that we do ought to be grounded in this. And as soon as we veer from this and we swerve, then our life begins to be hopeless and meaningless. So what role does Scripture play in your life? Is it big enough? Is it precious enough? Do you read it often enough? How diligent are you? Do we rejoice in it? Do we understand it and make it our continual sense of joy and pleasure in the Lord? Imagine what it would look like if we viewed Scripture the way that the psalmist does. Truly viewed Scripture that way. You know, I think it's important to remember God's Word is vital to our spiritual lives. God's Word is vital to the spiritual lives of His children. And it is so important that we read this. But you know what's the most encouraging thing about this? Everything that we need, we have right here. It's right here. We don't have to go climb some mountain to find it. We don't have to go do this or that. For most of us, it's right under our very noses. We just need to pick it up and to read it and meditate it on it and love on it the way that the psalmist did. And if we're a believer this morning, you have the Holy Spirit within you to help you. And what an encouragement that that should be, especially in times like we're in this morning. Because a lot of these restrictions, they're still here. We're still having to wear masks coming in. We still have people who are dying of COVID. We still have all types of circumstances that are less than ideal. But if we build our foundation on this, this is never going to shake. This is never going to crumble and fall. And we will find ourselves being on solid ground where everyone else is running for cover and hiding. And that is the type of lives that we as believers ought to have. And the psalmist, I believe, had in light of all the difficulties that he went through. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving us. I thank you so much for the truth of your word. Lord, your word brings life, eternal life, and it brings us hope and peace and comfort in a way that nothing else in this world can. And Lord, we confess, I confess, that so often I do not view it in the way that I should. I do not repeatedly meditate on it, spend hours and hours studying it and learning it in the way that I should for my own edification. And Lord, I know that I do not do it as often as I should. And so, Lord, I pray that myself and every believer would do those things in your word regularly, as it is a critical part of our relationship with you. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.